Sure. Job.
Good morning. I welcome you to our services today. They came in this morning, and for those who are visiting, typically we have the words for the music up on the screen. For some reason, the projector is not working, and it had been, so today decided not to. So I do apologize if you didn't know the words of the songs. That's not a normal thing. Usually we have the words up here where you can see them, and we'll be back on track next week, I'm sure. We have some exciting things coming up. Thank you, Sherry. We have some exciting things coming up, and I just got to share part of it. Coming up in a couple of weeks is going to be our annual hog roast, which is a lot of fun. Tickets are available, so you can pick up tickets to sell. And this is a fundraiser that we use here at the church to help offset the mortgage costs. So we have a good time with it. We came up with the idea this year because it's a vendor fair as well, so we have all kinds of vendors here. But one of the things that we came up with this year that we wanted to do is we will be selling fresh, and I mean fresh, fresh, hot apple cider donuts. Now, I have to suffer sometimes, guys, so that you really get the best. And yesterday we set up the whole donut baking thing outside, and we ran a trial batch yesterday. And I want you to know, just for you, I sampled from each batch just to make sure they were good. So we will be, and they were very good. So we will be having the fresh donuts and the hog and all the stuff going with it. Well, I don't know how many vendors they have lined up, but it should be a fun time. It should be a good time. It's interesting today, as I get into the message, it's very interesting how the music so often, and Sherry and I don't always, we don't coordinate and say, this is what I'm talking about this week, and have the message follow this. But God is in control, and God is in control of all things, and He puts the service together, and that's the way it's worked today. We're going to be talking a lot today about life. How's that? Life. You know, sometimes in life, we're way up here high, everything is good, everything is perfect, we're on the top of the mountain, and it looks beautiful from the top of the mountain, and we just think this is a great and wonderful life. But the thing is, with every mountain, there's a valley. And folks, we do end up in the valley sometimes. And what happens all too often is that we stay in the valleys, or we remember the valleys instead of remembering what it was like when we were on top of the mountain. This is life. These are our struggles. These are our problems. These are our burdens, and we carry them with us. Even Christians, as I look at the faces of Christians, I see it at times where they're strained and they're struggling with life. They're struggling with burdens and different things that keep bringing them down. But I want you to know something. And this is very important today. And you say, well, after I say this, you're going to say, well, Pastor, we know that. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ loves you. There is not a person in this room that Jesus does not reach out to and say, I love you. There's not a person here who has done anything so terrible and so horrible and so bad that Jesus can't forgive it. He says, I have forgiven all of your sins. And not only does He say, I love you, not only does He say, I forgive you, there's nothing you can do that I will not forgive. He goes on with it and He says, I want you to know that I'm willing to be invested in your life and be a part of your life and to work with you to help you through your problems. And sometimes we think, what? How can God do this for me? Matthew 11, I'm going to just read a quick passage here for you, starting with verse 28. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to us, and he's talking to us today, and he says this, "Come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is speaking to us, and he's saying, bring it all. Bring it all. And for a few minutes this morning, as I'm talking and as I'm sharing, I'd like for you to just do this, if you would. Think about your life, your own situation in life. And where do you need Jesus to come in and help you with your burdens? Jesus says, come. And from the first moment we realize Jesus is there, he calls us. The cry that comes from Jesus Christ to the Christian, it's a gentle, gentle word. Come. Come. Now, there's a contrast that we see in the Bible because the Jewish law was very harsh. And the Jewish law said this. This is Old Testament stuff. It said, go. Take heed of your steps and to the path in which you walk. Break the commandments and you shall perish. Keep them and you shall live. See, the law was a dispensation of terror, which drove men before it as a scourge. The gospel, however, draws us with the bands of love. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he goes before. And he's bidding people, and he's bidding us to follow him. And he's always leading us onward with that very sweet and gentle word, come. The law of the Old Testament, it repels people. But the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ, it attracts, it pulls people in. The law, as it's written in the Old Testament of the Bible, it shows the distance which there is between God and man. The gospel, however, bridges that awful chasm and brings the sinner across it. In the Old Testament, whenever somebody would sin, whenever somebody would do something wrong, whenever they would have things going on that they shouldn't, they would have to provide a sacrifice. And the Old Testament is full of all these different sacrifices that bring in the unblemished, the perfect lamb, and bring him a dove, and all the bulls, and all of these. And you'd have to bring them to the priest, and the priest would slaughter them. And there was an offering made to God from that. And all of this went on, and daily, daily, daily this went on. And that's how people found forgiveness for their sin, that they could go on and live their life. Lots and lots and lots of these sacrifices where the person brought the sacrifice. We move to the New Testament, and God says, I think that it's time for one final sacrifice. In the Old Testament, man provided the sacrifice. We get to the New Testament, God prepares, and he is the one who provided the sacrifice, and that sacrifice was his son, Jesus Christ. And God said this, I will send my son so that if anybody believes in me, if anybody hears my word, if anybody is willing to follow me, if anybody is willing to confess their sins, I will forgive their sins and they will have eternal life. God said, I am going to be the one to provide the sacrifice this time. Did you know? Did you know your life, your walk, who you are in Christ. Did you know that blood was shed for you? Jesus stepped into the world and he left the heavenly kingdom and he stepped into the world where there was pain and heartache and sickness and evil and all of these things. And he said, I am the sacrifice and I will lay my life down so that all of mankind can have eternal life and can have the promise of life in heaven where there is no more pain and there is no more suffering. There are no more tensions and arguments. But life is complete. Jesus says, I will die so that you can live. Folks, that's exciting. And then people say, well, now why did Jesus do that? It's really simple. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. And so Jesus calls us. And he uses that word come. From the first moment of your spiritual life until you're ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will be come. Come unto me. It's kind of like a mother, and we have all these young mothers in the church now and everything, but it's kind of like a mother who puts her finger out for the little child who's just learning to walk and kind of woos them to come. Okay, come on, one step. Just take one step. Here it is. You can get my finger. Hold on to my finger. Here it is. Come to me. And that's how Jesus calls us. And he'll always, always go before you and he will always pave your way and clear your path. And you'll hear his voice calling you after him all through life. And then in that solemn hour of death, when we leave this life behind, his sweet words that he will use to usher us into a heavenly world shall be, come. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, these words, this all sounds good to us. And Jesus is calling us to himself. And all we have to do is respond and trust him. Now, the problem with us as human beings is not that we don't want to come. We do. We do. We want what God offers. We want a life that is filled with peace. We want a life where we find answers to the struggles and the questions of life. We want the burdens to go away. We want the things that God promises us. But we really just don't know if we trust him enough. It's not that we don't trust ourselves. We always figure we can take care of our problems. And when the problems pile up, and there's more and there's more and there's more and there's more issues and more problems and more struggles, the deeper we get into that, the more trouble we get into. Because we start trying to shuffle things around to put out this fire over here and this fire over here and this fire over here. And we can't. But Jesus says, come. One of my favorite all-time Bible stories. And for those of you that have been in Laurel Street for a while, I'm gonna tell you right up front. I have preached from this passage many times. I will probably preach from this passage many times in the future because it's one of my favorites, but it's also such a powerful, powerful passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 14, if anybody's following in their Bible. And it answers that question of what we need to do to truly come to Jesus. It reads like this. During the fourth watch, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. It says, during the fourth watch of night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And then there's this guy. His name's Peter. And for all of you, those of you that don't know Peter, Peter was always getting his foot stuck in his mouth. Now, I don't know if any of you do that, but Peter was. And Peter was one of these guys that he'd jump up and he'd be all gung-ho to do something. And you know, he kind of messed up a lot. But Peter's in the boat. He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus replied back to him and he says, "Come." Well, there it is. There is that wonderful, sweet call of Jesus once again. "Come. If you believe it's me, Peter, get out of the boat and come. And if you trust me, come." And that's how he calls off. And he says, "Leave your burdens behind and don't worry about it. Just come to me and I will give you rest because I am God." And then I want you to notice what Peter does. Then Peter gets out of the boat. Now, can you imagine this? They're out on the lake. Now, the Sea of Galilee, what is referred to as the Sea of Galilee, is actually a freshwater lake. It's quite large, and every evening on the Sea of Galilee, and this is true today as well, because of the way it's located and the way it lays, every evening there are big storms roll up across the Sea of Galilee. And even today, boats will not be caught out on the lake in the afternoon or late afternoon or night because the water becomes so stormy and so turned around. Here's what happened. Jesus had been on the shore along the sea, and he'd been talking to people. His disciples were with him, and he had been sharing the love that he had for them, and he'd been sharing with them the message from the Heavenly Father, and he'd been sharing to them the things that they could do to you know, have a better life and the things that God would want them to do. They got hungry. Now, I'm not going to preach long enough today that anybody's going to get real hungry, but this was an all-day thing, and some of you say, yes, you will. And so Jesus said, "We got to feed these people." Well, there's 5,000 people there. And he asked his disciples, he says, "Well, how are we going to feed them?" He said, get what we've got. See what you can find. And this guy comes, or this boy comes, and his mama was a good mama, and she'd packed him some fish and some bread, and so he'd have something to eat. Well, they took it away from that little boy. But he got fed. Because Jesus took this little basket of food, and he said, and handed out to everyone. And the miracle occurred as this food was handed out and passed out, and everybody was fed, and there was so much left when it was done that there was a lot more than what they started with. Jesus had performed miracles for them. And these disciples, he said, "Guys, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to get in the boat," because they were by the sea and these men were fishermen. They knew that going out in the lake that late in the day was not a good idea. And Jesus said, "I want you to row to the other side of the lake." And I'm not going to get into that today, but there's significance to that too, because they knew what they were facing on the other side of the lake, and it wasn't good. But Jesus says, "Row to the other side of the lake, and I'll come to you later." Now, I don't know what their thought was, but they're going to row to the other side. And Jesus takes off, and it says he went up a mountain and went up to a private place. And Jesus just was there with the Heavenly Father. He was there with his thoughts. He was able to rest. Listen, there's a lesson there for us too. Folks, you need to rest. You need to rest. If Jesus thought it was important to rest, if he thought it was important to get away by himself and have those times where he could be refueled and replenished, we need it too. And too often we get too busy and we forget this. But anyway, so the storm comes up. Sure enough, these guys are out to sea and they're rowing for all they're worth, trying to get across the sea. Storm comes up, lightning, thunder, all of this stuff going on. And the disciples, they're scared. Where's Jesus? They're scared. And in the storm, somebody looks out across the water and here's somebody or this image, this vision moving toward them, and it's like, it's a ghost. Now we're really in trouble. And then Jesus says, no, it's just me. And he calls Peter to himself, and Peter gets out of the boat. He gets out of the boat. Doesn't make sense. The water's deep. But he gets out of the boat because he believes this is Jesus. And he stands up. And I can just picture this thing of kind of putting one leg over and, you know, testing the water. Is this going to support my weight? And, you know, I got to get this other leg over there. And can you imagine what that was like when he first just stood up? Now, there was no sunken log. Jesus said, come, just walk to me. And Peter is looking at Jesus. And folks, here's a key to dealing with life and to dealing with struggles and everything that hits you. Here's a key. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. Makes a difference. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep looking for him. And Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking toward Jesus and he can see Jesus. This is cool stuff. And he's on top of the water and there might have been this loud clash of thunder and this bright flash of lightning. Or maybe as he was walking, he got slapped in the side of the leg by one of the waves. But whatever happened, Peter had a problem. And what happened is he took his eyes off Jesus. And he started looking around. Number one, why am I on top of this water? This isn't possible. It doesn't make sense. These storms, look at the waves. The waves are going to swallow me up and I'm going to drown. And I may get hit by lightning because it's lightning and this thunder is scary. And the boat is back over there and Jesus is still over here and I'm out in the middle. And it's getting really scary out here. Now what do I do? I'm not that good a swimmer. At least in a storm I don't swim that good. And I don't have any flotation. What's going to happen? And he became so afraid of the things around him that he took his eyes off Jesus. And he went down. Verse 30 says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. Maybe that's you. I don't know. But maybe today, maybe the storms in your life today are all around you. And that's what you see. And because you are so consumed by those storms, and because you see how hard it is, and you've forgotten to look to Jesus. Immediately, he begins to sink. Lord, he cried out, save me. Lord, I'm going down here. The water's deep and it's getting colder and it's getting higher. Lord, I don't know what to do. The waves are and the wind and all of this. Save me. And Jesus evidently got close. And he sees him going down and Peter's there flailing and Lord save me. And Jesus reached down his hand. He reached down his hand. Take my hand. Take my hand. And he lifted him up out of the water and he returned him. He returned him to the boat. Folks, he reaches his hand to you. Because truth is, you can't make it without him, and neither can I. See, Peter started out real strong. He always did. He believed, and because he believed, he was able to walk on water. But something happened, and instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, Peter looked started looking around. And he saw the rough seas and he saw the waves and he felt the wind and the thunder. We heard the story. Now, maybe today as you come to church, you're carrying a boatload of issues. Maybe today you have money problems. And you're saying, how are my bills going to be paid? Well, what if this is shut off or this is taken away from me for lack of payment? Maybe today you're here and you have health issues, and how am I going to pay these medical expenses? How am I going to face this surgery and have this surgery? And how am I going to buy this medicine? I don't know. Is it cancer or not? Maybe today you're here and you have relationship issues. Why is so-and-so mad at me? How do I get my spouse to understand? Why don't my children listen to me? Why are they doing the things that they're doing? Why am I having problems with friends and family and coworkers? And you may even, as you're here today, you may be weighted down by the sins of your past. And you say things like, how could God forgive me when I can't even forgive myself? Why do I keep doing the same sin over and over again? Well, folks, the bottom line, you have to have your eyes and your heart not on the storm, but on Jesus. And some of you feel that you're about to go down for the third time. How do I know that? Well, I've talked to a lot of you. You can relate to Peter. And you want to call out to Jesus and you want to say, save me, Jesus. Jesus. Here I am, and I'm down here. Jesus, won't you pick me up? Help me. Won't you make that difference in my life? And Jesus is standing there, and he's reaching his hand down. You know, you came today and you're seeing the storms of life and you're very aware of that. Some of you came in today and life is a great place right now. And you're on top of the mountain and you're looking out from on top of the mountain. I rejoice with you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You will also be in the bottom of the valley someday. Nobody stays on the mountaintop forever. But it's when we're in the valleys. It's when we're in the valleys and when we call out to Jesus and Jesus reaches his hand down to us that we move back up to the top of the mountain. Because he's always there and he's always wanting to reach down and he's always wanting to lift us up. Notice what Jesus did. He takes Peter, takes him back to the boat, gets him in the boat, and then he does something. The disciples are still scared, and Jesus does something, and he calmed the sea. And I can just imagine Jesus in the boat and saying, okay, be still. You know, the thunder and lightning stop, the wind stops, the rough seas stop, and suddenly it's a very placid lake, which the Sea of Galilee, when it's really smooth, is a gorgeous thing. It was still there. The thing that had been so frightening. It was still there, but Jesus calmed it. I'm not telling you today that if you allow Jesus to work in your life, that you're not going to have issues and burdens. You will. But Jesus will calm that storm. He'll calm that storm. And he will do it in such a way that you have peace in your heart. And he will do things that you don't even know what's happening. He has things that come your way. You don't know how. You don't expect it. And he takes care of it. He gives you the words you need in a tense moment. See, he calmed the storm, but the sea was still there. The potential was there. But when you're with Jesus, and when you're really trusting him, life becomes different. Today, with the storms in your life, Jesus is saying this to you, and he is saying it gently, and he's saying it very sweetly. Come. Come. Folks, I challenge you this morning. Maybe it's time to take your eyes off of everything in life that is pulling you down and just reach your hand up and let Jesus grab hold of it. You say, I'm not strong enough to pull myself up. Okay, you don't have to be. Jesus is strong enough for both of you. And get your eyes focused on him. Understanding that he's there for you. I don't know how he does it, and I can't explain how he does it. I just know he does. He takes care of you, and he takes care of your burdens too. And life changes. And Jesus said, come to me, all who are weak and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's not only Christ's cry to you, but folks, if you're a believer, if you already know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and you've asked him in his life, there's something about this because now you're turning around and you say to Jesus, come. Come. You'll long for that time that Jesus returns. And you'll say, come quickly, even so, Lord Jesus, come. You'll be panting for a nearer relationship and a closer communion with him. And his voice to you is come. Your response will also be that to him. Come, Lord Jesus, and abide in me, live in me. Come and occupy by yourself, Lord, the throne of my heart. Reign in my heart without any rival and consecrate me to your service. Come to me, all you who are weak and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know what? I don't know about you folks. I do know about me, and I could use a little rest. I want to share a passage, and usually this is shared at funerals a lot, but it's really a passage of hope. It's a passage for the living. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Now listen to the peacefulness of this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are not facing anything today that God can't help you with. This morning, what I'd like for us to do, and I want to give you a chance, but just for a moment, would you bow your heads? For a moment. Would you just think, what are your burdens? What did you carry to church today that really has you weighted down? What is there that you don't have the answers to? What's missing in your life? What is it that consumes you? What is it that keeps you from being as close to God as you should be? And what is it today in your life that has you in that position where you're saying, Lord, I'm going down for the third time and I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do. Jesus, save me. He's here with us today. And he's reaching his hand down to you. And he's saying, come, come, and I will lift you up. My burden is light. Come, and I'll pull you up and I'll calm the seas of your life. Come. Because I'm here for you. This morning, as we close, heads bowed, eyes closed, really nobody looking around. But just for a moment, and I know this takes courage, but just for a moment, I want to ask if you're here today, you really want to let go of those things that are weighing you down. Would you just come and kneel at this altar? All it is we're going to come and kneel and pray, and it's a place where you say, Lord, this is what I want to leave with you. I'm tired of these burdens. I don't want to carry them anymore. Lord, I want to surrender it to you. Would you just come and kneel and pray? You may have walked in this morning with the world of hurt. You don't have to walk out that way. Sometimes we find ourselves in these positions and we feel like, yeah, I feel like I need to go forward and I feel like I need to talk to God and I need to give this to him. The truth is, you can do it where you're sitting. I know that. But there's something special about bowing at the altar of God. Because when you come here, what you can do is you can take those burdens and those trials and those challenges of life, and you can lay them right here. And after you've prayed and you've given them to God, you can walk away and leave them here and trust God to take care of them. Folks, I wouldn't present this to you if I didn't know it was true. And I know God is here. And he's touching lives. The only thing today is that fear of stepping out. That fear of letting go. For a few moments. The altar is open. Jesus is calling. And he's saying to you, come, come, here I am. Come, my arms reached out to you, come. Let me calm your storms. Just pray where you're at while these are praying here, just in a moment of silence. If the Lord leads, there's still time. The altar is open. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and touch hearts. Come and heal the pain. Come and lift burdens. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus puts his hand down and he touches you on the shoulder and he says, I'll lift you up. Heavenly Father, how great you are. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming for us. Jesus, thank you for taking our cares and taking our burdens, lifting them off our shoulders that we would find peace in you. Father, for those who have come today and have knelt at this altar and prayed, hear their prayers, Lord. Fill them with yourself. Pour your peace out upon them. Be real in their lives, Father. For others who today were seated and were praying from their seats and they were talking to you, Heavenly Father, as they would go today, fill them with your peace and fill them with your love. Father, let them know today that you're here for them and that you love them and you care about them. Father, you don't let any of your children just walk away because you love your children and you care for your children. And you provide. We thank you for that. Father, I just lift this to you now. In Jesus' name.